beginning to practice the twos and threes on page 39. But before we get into that, I thoroughly enjoyed some points from what we just heard. Oh Lord, amen. So we have, in the previous message, we had a point I'd just like to read to you.
Amen.
Since the building up of the church is in spirit,
yes,
our relationships in the church should be in
spirit.
Amen. We should not have natural relationships in the church.
Amen.
Appreciated this, the brothers' experiences, bringing out this matter of natural relationships. Well, I'm glad we had that time because it put it into a context of the church. And so we're going to go in a little bit further on the practical side related to the twos and threes. When you talk about the church, you can't get away from this matter of the twos and threes. It becomes extremely practical in our daily life. You know, the brothers, the brothers speak for a week here, and we're here with all these brothers. But when we go back to our localities, we don't have the daily speaking, right? So we need to be ones who are leaning and dependent on one another. So I would like throughout this time for us to be thinking about, first of all, the need for spiritual companions.
Amen.
And those around you in your locality. Right here, we're making relationships here. But specifically, when we go back, we need to have specific ones. Ones, twos that we can always go to, we can pray with. And my name's Jesse. It's my first time being with you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've been serving for a number of years, and I would like to give you a tale of caution. I have a brother that I love so dearly. Actually, the Lord brings him up in my mind all the time, and I pray for him. And the moment I met him, we actually started to have a Bible study together. But I realized I'm older than him. He was a freshman at the time, and I realized, you know, maybe we have a relationship, but and we, you know, it's based in the Word and things. But I realized that he has no one to connect on his age. And he was like oil, and the other brothers were like water. They just couldn't. And okay, so I just had this, Lord, put him in with the brothers, you know. I had that thought. And then I realized, this is a couple years back, I realized later on, what made others' spiritual growth in 4 years go up like this in a consistent way? Up, up, up. And then this brother, you know, who I love dearly, he went up and then, boom, right? And then he went up a little bit. You know, so I have to realize, is it his spirit? You know, what is it? And I don't know, you know, we read yesterday, some of us read. I don't know what you brothers and sisters think when you read this. Let me read this to you. The best way for the young brothers and sisters to experience Christ is to what?
Mm-hmm.
Is to find at least two or three companions in the Lord. Okay, that was just maybe a one-time deal, but let's look at this a couple paragraphs later. It says, the best way to have spiritual growth and receive spiritual benefit is to, what? Find a few brothers and sisters to be our spiritual companions so that we can open up to one another, seek one another, help one another, and solve one another's problems and all spiritual things. But I'd like to say, so I had to go before the Lord preparing, I don't know if I believe that this is the best way for spiritual growth for us, but I've been convinced. I've been convinced. And I hope that we are, all of us, are convinced that when we go back and we have a certain amount of time in our college years, four or five, we need to go back with this view. I don't want to be, or I don't want any of us to be a freshman in our spiritual growth when we're supposed to be a senior. And I don't want anyone to stay stagnant here as they enter into their college years. I want to see all of us grow in a consistent way. So we need to be thinking, right, about who do we have as a spiritual companion. Okay? We trip, we fall. We need those to lift us up, right? Encourage us to go on. Because if I trip and I fall, woe to me, for I don't have anyone to lift me up. So we need to have those who come to us, brother, let's go, right? Let's go. And that way, those times of whatever it is are, I would say, curtailed, almost eliminated if you have a surrounding of brothers and sisters to help you, to bring you on. Amen. So I hope that everyone in this room would have a spiritual companion. And one's good, two's better, and I would say even a surrounding of brothers and sisters that are around you.
Amen.
Amen. So let's get into the outline. Okay, how about we read Roman numeral 1 together, page 39. Ready with a strong spirit? Yes. The
principle for God's people is that they should be grouped together in twos or threes. Hence, we all need to be grouped together with some companions.
Amen. How about, let's say, Lord, group us together.
Lord, group us together.
Amen. Lord, if I don't have a spiritual companion, get me one. Amen. Oh Lord, this is I read the title. It says beginning, right? We will be covering this line, and we'll cover many, many things related to the twos and threes being built up, and many things can probably be happening in the twos and threes, but we're talking today about a beginning.
Amen.
So you may think that you have someone. Amen. That's good. Some of you in this room are freshmen, sophomores, junior, seniors. If you would consider with me the benefits of having a spiritual companion. Oh, and if you get one, your spiritual growth will just be normal and up and higher and higher. Okay, so we have the principle. In the Bible, we realize that there is a principle in the Bible for the twos and threes. But I would say two things related to that of the benefit is one, we have weakness. We're weak. Now, I don't know very many of you, but I need a strong brother, like someone who's been, here we go. Brother. Okay. So just to continue my thought, there's the we are weak, right?
Yeah.
And I want to help us realize that we're all weak. We're inadequate. And then number two is that we're natural. Okay. Okay, so this brother here. All right, he looks pretty strong. He looks strong. But can I ask you a question? Are you weak?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Brother, do you think you can run the spiritual race by yourself?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. What brought you to that realization?
Many failures.
Oh, yeah. Many failures. Wow. I think I'm beginning to realize that in my Christian life, as I go on, I too have many failures. And I need some to help me because... because I'm inadequate. Oh! I fell. I have someone to catch me.
Yeah.
So, brothers and sisters, we need... Are you being impressed? I hope we're impressed. That we need some.
Yeah.
Because we're weak. Okay?
Yeah.
Sisters, we're weak.
Yeah.
Brothers, same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, amen. That's good for that. Then the second thing is, natural relationships. But let's go on. Because we have pop-ups. And those are the best. So I should leave room for the pop-ups. Okay, so we have, let's read all A together. Ready? Go.
Before.
For this, we have our first pop-up. It's Andrew Vetter. Here we go. Do you have the mic?
Amen. So, when I was in high school, my senior year, I was really struggling with deciding to go to a school that my dream school I got accepted into, and it was the first school I applied to, and I got accepted, and I really wanted to go, but there was no church life. And then I applied to another school that my sister previously had applied to. She'd be a senior this year. And this had a church life. GTCA came about a year before this. And so I had this struggle with in me. Should I go where the saints are, or should I go where I want to go? And praise the Lord, I made the right decision, and I went where the Spirit is.
Amen.
Purdue University. And but then coming into the National College training last year, the first day the brother shared, he was sharing about college as a body of water and how there are fresh fish that come each year, and they need to be fished. They need fishers, and we need to be their fishers.
Amen.
And, he saw my name, and he pointed me out, and he said, Andrew was a fisher, but he had a companion.
Yeah.
He had Peter as his companion to fish. And so from that day on, I was just praying to the Lord, Lord, give me a Peter.
Amen.
Give me someone that I can fish.
Amen.
Fish the fresh fish.
And, fresh fish.
And praise the Lord, by the end of the every day I was praying this, and I kind of gave up hope by the end of the conference, and even after the last message, I was kind of going to see some brothers that I hadn't really made contact with, and he said, Andrew, have you met this brother? He's going to Purdue. He's a freshman. And I was like, no. Where has he been this whole week? And then I met this brother, and he said, oh, have you met this other brother? We're also going. He's my companion. We're going to Purdue, too. And so the Lord gave me three brothers.
Amen.
And three brothers that I could pursue the Lord with. And praise the Lord that even though it was a rough year for us, we had our own schedules. They worked harder than I did. And and so we struggled meeting together. I just enjoyed the subtitle of this message, beginning to practice the twos and threes.
Amen.
So even though it didn't happen perfectly the first year, it's just the beginning.
Right.
Praise the Lord that we are beginning to practice the twos and threes.
Amen. Oh, good. Thank you. I'd just like to echo my brother. Praise the Lord for the beginning.
Amen.
If we haven't started, that's okay. We have a beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Oh, pop-ups. Okay, we got to get going because we want to get to the pop-ups. All right, B. how about all together?
Do not have companions in a loose way, choosing them because you like a person or because the person is similar to you. We should be able to go to any brother or sister to be our companion, not caring for what they are like, and forgetting all the differences.
We covered a little bit related to this in our last meeting, and I was just finding out how do we get this across, and it's silly, sorry, but I was thinking of Goldilocks. She goes in and there's porridge, right, and she goes, that's too hot, that's too cold. This one's perfect. This one's just right. You just kind of think, are we exercising that preferential way about our companions? Oh, that brother, he always is too intense, too hot, I'm a little quieter, a little shy. That brother's always slouching, He's always in the back row. I hope we wouldn't dismiss people. You may have people all around you, and you go, he's too this, he's too that, this one, that one. Guess what? The only person that you can fellowship with is the person in the mirror. You become individual. So we need to exercise to cut that desire for preference, and to allow the Lord to touch us. Amen. What about this brother? I just forget about anything outward, however he looks, dresses, dispositionally, how he is. I want to be joined with him in prayer. Amen. Okay, next, we have C. As companions, we should avoid having the relationship turn into mere friendship or social interchange. To contact and fellowship with our companions should be limited by the cross of Christ. Oh, okay. I'm just like you. So we have to realize the difference between friends and companions. What is the difference? I know that we've covered this, but friends, we do a lot of things together, But there are no friends in the church, right? We just covered that. But what about the spiritual companions? I would say, if you can break through from one area into the through the threshold of spiritual companionship, it'll be super beneficial. I know we're all thinking about some that are, we're just friends. We do a lot of things together. But I want you to consider, there's a line that you need to cross. I feel like, growing up in the church life, I feel like there was a specific time in my life where I had to say, I don't just want to hang out. I want to cross over. I want to get past the social, what do you call it? The social norm or whatever, yeah. The pleasantries, how about that? And get, brother, I need to be joined with you. I want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. I hope we can get this impression on us. For this, we've got Jonathan and Ethan. Jonathan and Ethan. Amen.
Amen. Me and Ethan, we've known each other our entire lives, and throughout our church life, we've always been just friends. We never became like real companions until about last year, when two of the older brothers, like the full-time serving ones, they started taking us out to eat, and we read a few verses, like a chapter, and they really started us in Japan.
I really appreciated what the brothers did to us. not just the fact that we got free food every Tuesday. Anyways, but it was kind of a shepherding to us. I mean, especially with college around the corner, we were able to pray for certain things coming up, maybe pray about our major, what college we're going to go to. And I think it was really good for us to the spiritual building.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Spiritual building. Amen. This matter, you know, there's the cross-reference there to Leviticus 2, 11 and 13. And this passage in the Bible is related to the meal offering. And the meal offering, it's really, really striking. The meal offering in a couple verses show that there's an individual Christ there. He's the meal offering. And that's one aspect. And then, which is made with oil and flour. And then, two, there's the corporate aspect there, which is the body of Christ, the church. And that is the cakes there. So the meal offering signifies Christ, the individual Christ, the individual believer, but also the cakes, it signifies what? The corporate Christ and the church. Amen. Okay, so we see there what is not added? Honey, right? Honey is, in the Bible, signifies natural affection. No honey. How about leaven? Any evil thing or negative thing. It should not be put into this corporate Christ, corporate body. So we need to realize that these things related to our being with one another in the church should not have any element of honey or leaven. So, but what... You know, I was just thinking about these brothers, and I love that example. There's the flour, the fine flour that's there, that's to make the cakes. And brothers, I had this experience myself. I felt like there needed, you know, there's something missing in my friendship. And the oil needs to be added.
Amen.
But I don't know, I'm slow. It took me a long time to realize this, that I'm just pulling up flour, you know, in order to make a cake. I'm trying to just have flour, just like this. But there was no oil added at all, ever. My relationships before were just so full of whatever, just something we like to do. But you realize, if you can add the oil, what's the oil, brothers? The oil is the Spirit, right? We need to pray together. So you add the oil. That's when, clumps together, right? So we need to be diligent to add the Spirit. Add the oil, right? Prayer. Pray ourselves. Pray. Get past the friendship and into our spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, how about this? Let's all read D together.
We should realize that there are many different kinds of companions and groupings in the church life, and we should be open to the Lord for how we should be grouped.
Amen. How about we all say, we should be open to the Lord. Ready? We should be open to the Lord. How about again? We should be open to the Lord. And the second part, for how we should be grouped. Ready? For how we should be grouped. Again, for how we should be grouped. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I was having some fellowship just yesterday, and I realized there are... You may be thinking in your mind right now, I am in a small locality, and there's nobody my age. right? How can I have a spiritual companion? I want one, but where are they? And I would just like to encourage everyone in that category to really pray and be open to the Lord for whoever may come.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean it has to be the same. They have to be the same age. But what about the older brothers, for you brothers? What about the older sisters with so much experience? How about them? Or what about the ones who are junior high, those squirrely kids? Huh? Right? We need to have some. Anyway, I feel like we need to be open.
Amen.
Open to the Lord for this.
Amen.
Because, you know, if we're in that category, let's just pray, okay? Let's just pray. Lord, I am open, whoever. I want my spiritual growth to go higher and higher without any stumbling.
Amen.
So I need some brothers. okay, so why are we doing this? Let's all read Roman numeral 2 together. Ready? We must be blended
into one through fellowship and prayer.
Amen.
We must be blended. I don't know how many people know this word, blended. Blended, amen. Blended means losing of distinctions, being adjusted, harmonized, tempered and mingled. This is blending. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have in John, this is not on here, but John 12:24 reminded me of this verse. One grain of wheat fell into the earth to die. Then it bore much fruit. You know what another 12:24 verse is? 1 Corinthians 12:24. God has blended the body together. Amen. So we have this verse that there's the one grain that fell. But really, out of that, many grains. And then the blended loaf. Praise the Lord. So we are here for the goal to be blended into one loaf.
Amen.
For the sake of time, let's go on. Let's read A together. Fellowship is the basis for blending. And then one all together. In twos and threes.
The first thing is to know one another.
Amen.
Whenever we come together, we should ask concerning the present situation of each group member. We should fellowship concerning our status, our spiritual condition, and our present situation in and with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, when we consider one another in this way, we have the ability to begin to know one another and pray for their situations. So, if we come together and we just don't know anything about anyone, how can we be blent and how can all the problems be solved? Well, if we spend time to get together with our companions and open up to one another in a thorough way, there will be a way for us to pray so that these things can be dealt with, right? You know, I'm just burdened. If we have this way, there's that 4 years of normal growth.
Amen.
Normal, right? No wasting time.
Amen.
We can go on in a good way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've got one more pop-up, but let's read 2 and 3 together, and then I'll ask Abby, Beatrice, and Rachel to come up. Amen. Ready? Go.
However, we need to be careful concerning what we open to one another in public. In certain cases, the public confession of sins has caused serious trouble. The more we know one another in the proper way, the more
amen.
And if we love one another, we will always feel that we miss one another.
Amen. Okay, can we have those three sisters? Amen. Amen.
Hi, I'm Rachel. This is Abby.
Hi.
Hi, viewers. So I'm from Medina, which is a small town. It's like near Cleveland, Ohio. But my family is the only saints there right now. And at my high school, there was like, I don't know, 2,000 kids, so my graduating class was really big. And I was the only young person there who was saved. When I was in 6th or 7th grade, I really prayed. I was like, Lord, just give me a companion. You can be whoever you want. I don't care. Just, like, give me someone to love you with. And then I met Abby, and I hated her so much. It was like Goldilocks. She was way too sassy for me. Being my 6th grade self, I told the Lord, I was like, Lord, if you put me far away from this sister, I will enjoy you. But if you don't, I will not enjoy you. And then he put us together in Ephesus at Kathy's house, Ephesus Kathy, in Fairmore. And he forced us to live together. And now I love her. And they're my companions in Christ. And we met Beatrice at Kathy's house, too. And without them, I wouldn't be at this college training. We always ask each other how we're doing. That was one of the points. And we were talking about the college training because we served together at SSRT. And they're like, hey, Rachel, are you going to the college training? And I was like, well, probably not. And they're like, why? I was like, did you hear there's going to be testing? Did you hear this? And they make you speak. And they're like, Rachel, just go. And I had all these buts. I was like, but guys, like, there's this and this. But they encouraged me, and I'm so thankful for them.
Amen.
I just love them so much.
Amen.
And in the ministry, after this message is a little ministry thing, and it says that as young teenagers, we like to think that we're independent and we're strong and we can conquer the world and stuff like that. But it says that we fail. Like, the brother got up here and he fell down and the one brother caught him. Like, we need those other companions.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just so encouraged to have these companions in my life because I wouldn't be here right now.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Having these companions has been such a blessing to me. And I think around the time that we all became companions together that year, there are a decent number of young people in my locality, but there were no girls that were my age because I had companions, but some of them had moved away or gone to different places. So at the time, I didn't really have any companions my age. And it was a real blessing when I was able to be knit with these other sisters.
Amen.
And after that, we tried to stay in contact and we called one another and we prayed together. And it was always really sweet to have that fellowship. And even just calling for like 5 minutes or something was always encouraging and always brightened my day. It was just a little bit of infusing of the Lord.
Amen.
Being able to have that encouragement and that sharing was really sweet because sometimes I can be super individualistic, but I feel like these sisters really fill up my lack in a lot of ways. And I have a sister who's super amiable, and that fills up that lack. And I have a sister who's very sensitive and caring, and that fills up that lack. And so it's been such a sweet experience to have them. And it's been a way the Lord can work in me. There were conferences I didn't want to go to, or I didn't have a part to go to college training. And then I had these other sisters who didn't want to either. And I was like, well, you have to go. And then I was like, I'll be there if you are there. And so then we all ended up coming. So we all ended up serving for SSMT. All these things I didn't have the heart to do, I was like, well, I have to be there for my companions.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Brought me
Amen.
Into a lot of places that I was glad I actually went to.
Amen.
And I know just throughout our whole experience of calling one another and fellowshipping, the times where I have been contacting them less have usually been lower points. They've been points where I felt further from the Lord and I felt colder. And then coming back to fellowship with the sisters and having that contact again, I felt warmer towards the Lord. The times where I haven't been close with them have been the times where I've been furthest from the Lord, I think. So I really think the Lord has blessed me.
Amen.
So this summer, we got the opportunity to serve for the young people at SSRT in Fairmore. I remember Brother Jefferson messaged me over Facebook and asked me, how are you doing, sister? Are you serving? And I remember, like, I was so sad because I really wanted to serve, but I thought my work would take it. And somehow it worked. The Lord made it work, and I ended up serving. And I remember being scared. I was like, oh, my gosh, what if I don't like the kids? Or, like, I don't know. And I remember the Lord telling me, like, I have Rachel and Abby there with me to help me and support me if I'm down or anything. So that was very sweet. And we also have another companion, Kristen, who's a senior this year, and something in the outline says missing.
Each of us,
yeah. Yeah, and we love each other, and we're always there for each other. It's very comforting to have these sisters, and Kristen, who we miss very dearly. But by the Lord's mercy, there's never been a dull moment with the sisters, but there's always been the Lord's life fulfilling each one of us.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to say something else. Just as an encouragement, when I prayed in middle school for the Lord to give me a companion, I was expecting it to be at my high school in Medina. But these two sisters, Abby lives 3 hours away from me, and Beatrice is in Indiana, and Kristen's in Michigan. So even if, like, you don't have someone living near you, the Lord can still provide someone who lives 10 hours away from you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Wow. I kind of want to end the message there. No, I'm not going to end there. We have one more pop-up, and then we'll end the message. So my name is Daniel. I'm just going to share a little bit more, just to impress us a little bit more about this matter of beginning to practice the twos or threes. I don't know if you've had this thought, wow, I need to begin to practice twos or threes. I think maybe this is my concept, maybe this is your concept. It should just happen. Like, oh, I just fell in with these two brothers, and all of a sudden we're companions and we're running the race together. I don't think it's that simple. It would be nice if it was. But we need to begin to practice the twos or threes, right? I think, you know, these ones that have shared could testify that this has taken time, right? It's not something that happens overnight. Maybe you find ones out of the blue, but there needs to be some amount of practice, right? You need to practice to come together, to pray together, to get to know one another in a proper way. And so that's really the burden of this message, is not that everyone would leave here and everyone has a group. You know, everyone would have, you know, spiritual companions that, you know, they're ready to go and, you know, they're going to take over their campus. But that we would begin to at least practice this. And we might be at different stages. Maybe, you know, some already have companions. And maybe they're ready for the next stage. But maybe some don't have any companions yet. Maybe they're ready for the first stage, right? To actually find some. Okay? You know, and I want to... I was really impressed... yesterday, during the message on the twos and threes, the brothers gave some examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament of ones who had companions. And I was considering, you know, when we come together and we might not have such an overcoming time. The examples that were given, maybe I can just read those again. The examples that were given, those ones really... they were overcomers, right? They, you know, they weren't fooling around. Joshua and Caleb, those were ones who took the good land, right? When ones like Moses and Aaron, you know, didn't enter into the good land, those two, they entered in the good land. David and Jonathan, right? I think they talked about that a little bit. Daniel and his three companions, those were ones who were in Babylon, right? Those were ones who overcome. Okay, there's a fourth example I wanted to give of ones who were companions, but didn't start out so victoriously, I would say. And that's the matter of Job and his three companions. I think probably most know at least a little bit about Job, just to make sure we're all on the same page. So Job lived in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's unclear from the word, where did they live? Who were they exactly? But these three, they were righteous. They were good. These were godly men. These were not pagan heathens who were living without God. Actually, they were seeking God. But they did also live in a time where the revelation of the mystery didn't have it, right? And so when they came together, I was just impressed. I wanted to read a few verses. After Job has been stripped of his family, his possessions. Even he's got boils. He's in a very negative situation, right? But I was impressed. Let me read verse. This is Job 2:11. When Job's three friends heard of all this misfortune that came upon him, each came from his place. So they came from their houses, or whatever they had, probably tents at that time. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. They together made an appointment to come to console him and comfort him. Isn't that striking? Have you ever read that before? I read that verse and was like, wow, Job's friends, they really cared for him. They came from whatever they were doing. You know, it's not like they were twiddling their thumbs at home. No, they came together and said, Job's having a hard time. You know, he's lost a lot. We should go and we should comfort him, right? And then it goes on. We just see the care for them. When they lifted up their eyes from a distance, they did not recognize him. Because he had boils, right? It'd be like, I look and, Tom, is that you? I don't know. You got boils everywhere. Didn't recognize him, right? Yeah. They lifted up their voice and wept. They all tore their clothes, a sign of mourning. They cast dust over their heads, another sign of mourning. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, but none spoke a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. That's pretty impressive, right? Now, on the one hand, we could say, yeah, but they didn't understand what Job was going through. And you're right, they didn't understand. But they still cared for him, right? And so I hope that we would have this same care. You know, sometimes our spiritual companions, they might hit rough times, right? Might have a family member pass away. Might get a bad grade on that test. And we really need to have some amount of care. We need to consider one another, right? Consider one another just as we come together. Okay. Let's go back to the message. Let's go ahead and we're going to go down to Roman numeral 3 because I think we're running short on time. Yes. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. Right, and the verse that's here, 2 Timothy 2:22, was mentioned yesterday. And the key in this verse is two words. With those. Amen. Right? They came together. We should come together for what? Fellowship, sing, pray, pursue the truth, take care of new ones. Come together, right? The verse in 2 Timothy says we need to pursue righteousness. Someone who has the verse memorized probably do that. Faith, love, peace, right? With those. That's the key. You might try to pursue those other things on your own. And maybe you'll succeed for a little while. But eventually, the Christian life can't be run on our own. We who are older, I'm one of the older ones now. I don't know how that happened. We've come to find out we fail. We fail on our own. Me personally, in my natural self, I'm very introverted. I like to be by myself. I like to do my own thing. That doesn't work very well in the Christian realm. We try to do things on our own. Maybe certain things we can do on our own. We do need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. But so much of the Christian life is not a personal thing. And our personal life really is so that we can have a corporate life. Because really, that's what the Lord is after, right? The Lord is after the church. The Lord is not after a bunch of individuals, you know. Okay? Amen. Okay, so what should we do? Let's read A together.
We should consider how to pursue together, practically based on our burdens, capacities, schedules, and growth in life.
Right. So when we come together, these are the things that we need to consider, not necessarily, oh, should we go to this conference or, you know, let's go to the college training. That's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. But hey, what's your burden? Do you have a burden? Do you have a burden for your campus? Do you have a burden for your family? You know, raise your hand if your whole family is in the church life. Okay, there's some. Good. Okay, so everyone else, you know, has someone, right? I hope you're burdened for your family members, right? they are your family. You can't have another one. Okay. So we should have burdens, right? Okay, I'm going to go ahead. We're just going to go down to the last pop-up. And I think Katie and Danielle are going to come and share. And I realize these two are not students. But does that mean that they're exempt from having companions?
No.
No. We need companions just the same, right? You ready? Okay. Give that mic.
The point that we're sharing on is just having a set time each week to have prayer with your companions. And so this past semester, we had two set times. The one that we did on Thursday or Friday, depending on the week, was FaceTime. And it was just kind of just us, like, opening up to each other and really telling each other generally how we're doing humanly, how we're doing spiritually. And I really appreciated not only opening up my situation, but knowing where my companions are at and be able to pray for them specifically. One of my personal experiences was when I decided to go to the full-time training, I was a little worried of like how my mom would react, and so I opened up to the team each week, and each week we'd pray for my mom, and it was just very sweet time, and once I actually told my mom, it actually wasn't that bad, so it was just very sweet to have those prayers behind me, and just really like working, having the Lord work in my mom.
Amen.
So like during our prayer times, it's very easy for us to be built up together and just really open for each other, know who each other are, pray for each other, and really it really enhances our pursuit of the Lord together. And so through our praying for each other, we then had a burden to pray for our contacts and for other people we're burdened for, which led to our second time of supper.
Right, so after having this kind of prayer and fellowship and opening with one another, there's a genuine love, a genuine care, and a genuine building with one another. And out of this comes our heart and our care for others. So also, besides this taking care of one another once a week we had a set, consistent, regular prayer time to care for the ones on our heart. And for this, we actually had a prayer diary where we wrote down and prayed for very specific and answerable prayers for each of the ones on our heart. Things like, at our next appointment, we would pray, read a verse with this one, or this one would go to a home meeting, or they would pray twice in the prayer meeting, and things like that. And this is just very encouraging because praying in such a specific way gave the Lord a specific way to move in these ones that we cared about.
Amen.
And also, because we wrote it down, every time the Lord answered a prayer, we would write down the date next to when the Lord answered our prayer.
Amen.
And this is just very encouraging to see the Lord is faithful through our prayers to answer our prayers.
Amen.
And so you might be wondering, well, okay, you guys are full-time, so how does this really relate to us? But, you know, all of you either have a companion or I believe the Lord will be faithful to give you a companion.
Amen.
And you and your companion, you all have ones that are on your heart. You all have family members, friends, classmates, or even maybe you are taking care of ones together. And so coming together in such a regular, consistent way and even writing down your prayers will be very encouraging to see the Lord move in the ones that are on your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So maybe we can kind of conclude by, I just want to go through the 5 points that are there. These are kind of practical considerations. Maybe let's alternate brothers on one, sisters two, and then we'll all, yeah. Go ahead.
Decide on a regular time for prayer. 10 to 15 minutes of prayer each night.
Find a regular time to have morning revival together. Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8 a.m.
Set a goal to read the Bible and or ministry work together, using a part of our companion fellowship in prayer time to pursue the truth, and to speak the truth to one another is very profitable.
Pick up the burden and take action to contact others in the gospel.
shepherd and take care of new ones together corporately.
And all together on the focus.
After regularly following the Lord to find some companions, we should fellowship, pray for one another, and pursue the truth together in order to be brought into one accord with the goal of gaining others.
Man, I think we have a few minutes left. We'd like to give a chance for ones to come forward. Just to either share where you're at or your consideration or even put out there, hey, saints, I have a need. I'm looking for a companion, and maybe someone would answer that.